we have the pleasures of not only congratulating him, but also having him live in our studios. That's he's the appointed Deputy Judge President of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court. That's Judge Rachivumu. He joins us in conversation. You remember that earlier this year, he went for the interviews to be the DJP of the Division of the High Court here in the province. And from there, he successfully passed his interviews, and we get to find out from him his strategy, how he prepared, and many other things. We'll talk about some of his highlights in his career leading to where he is now, but also we'll look into, you know, how did he end up being where he is now? What really prompted him? What was that buck that really bit so hard for him to be a jurist today? We'll definitely look in all of those conversations. Judge Takalani Vincent Rachivumu is my guest this evening. 6 minutes after seven. If you have any questions for him, I'd like you to send them through on 072-885-7702. Before I welcome him, take a listen.
We've risen from the fire, refined and ready to conquer. Rise FM, the voice of a resilient community. Mpumalanga, Azishe. Mpumalanga's finger on the pulse of current affairs. It's Rise FM in 60 minutes. With Musa Skosana.
Indeed, I have Judge Takalani Vincent Rachivumu live in our studios, the newly appointed Deputy Judge President of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court. Him and I are going to exhaust a number of topics, a number of issues, a number of challenges, a number of successes. This evening is not different. Every Tuesday, we invite the legal community to come and share their own sector with us in the province and some of the challenges that they are faced with. And tonight is not different. As I've mentioned, Judge Takalani Vincent Rachivumu is passionate about helping communities through the law. As a student, he volunteered his legal services, giving legal advice to the poor community in and around Toyando in Limpopo. He was a lecturer at the University of Venda before becoming a public prosecutor. Later, he became a magistrate and went on to be a regional magistrate. He's now the appointed Deputy Judge President of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court, and he joins us live and direct in our studios. Judge, it's an honor and good evening. Thank you so much for agreeing to speak to us this evening.
No, it's a privilege to me, Mrs. Skosana, and greetings to all your listeners out there.
You know, we're so honored, and I was telling my producer, I don't know really where to start. And, you know, when we were receiving you at our holding room, and I was just saying to you, I've been searching a lot about you, and I've been trying to find, you know, where do I then start? But I've picked up, you know, maybe it's just me, guessing, but based on also your surname, that you claim a lot and you've done a lot in the province of Limpopo. Maybe let's start there. You were a lecturer there at the University of Limpopo. Maybe let's start where you grew up. Where did you grow up?
Right. And maybe let me correct it. Not University of Limpopo, but the University of Venda. That's where I started.
Yes, yes.
Tutor lecturer there. And yes, I grew up in Limpopo, the area called Rwamondo. That's where I grew up as a teenager. And of course, my studies is also around there. I started my studying at the University of Venda. And in later years, I also moved to Johannesburg, where I studied at the University of Johannesburg. Yeah.
So how then, because I've noted, and something we're going to touch on later on the show, where I've noted that you've got two qualifications in IT, right? And my interest is, when then did you decide to do law? Which came first? Is it law or IT?
No, that's very interesting. I've always admired or desired to study law throughout my life, primary, high school, I suppose, because I've seen so much injustice as a child. I mean, including my family members, they've gone through a lot of injustices that I always told myself, if I will have an opportunity in my life to change that, I would want to do it. And I also always thought the only way to do that is if I can study law. I can help a lot of our people, especially the poor community. Interestingly, I wasn't interested really in studying IT as a career.
Mm.
What I wanted was to study law. And I remember I had put as a first choice law, and in the alternative, I wanted to study journalism.
Wow,
if I wasn't to make it in studying law. And I suppose that's why in later years, I finally made it as an editor-in-chief of another newsletter, the Judicial Newsletter, published by Sajay. I was the editor-in-chief thereof.
Yeah.
So IT was just a hobby. I have keen interest in computer, IT things. I was a webmaster of some websites at some point while serving as a magistrate. It was out of interest, not really to make a career out of it.
Yeah, very interesting. But it's also interesting how you've then carried IT with into the legal space. Because I want you to take us to the day when JP Dunstan Mlambo saw you carrying and walking around a laptop, and that's when I suppose he lured you into, you know, the judicial space, or rather being a judge around, you'd correct me if I'm mistaken, it was around 2013 or so, when you were still appointed to serve as an acting judge in both the south and the north of Gauteng. Just talk us through around that particular moment and what really, you know, lured or sparked an interest from Judge Dunstan Mlambo at the time.
Well, I'm glad you remember that. What actually happened is, that was just a coincidence. I often say to colleagues, judicial officers in both the high court and the lower courts, that you need to be the best in the legal corner where you are. Serve the best without expecting any reward. It's just a matter of time before somebody realizes that someone is doing something in his legal corner. And that's exactly what I was doing. I had my laptop. It had almost all the information you can think of, all the case law and everything. And in the courtroom, I wouldn't write using a pen. I would print. I had the printer. I had everything done there so neat and so clean. And as I came from court carrying my laptop, the judge president of Gauteng was there to see me. But then I was a president of JUWASA. He was to talk to me about issues pertaining to the lower court judiciary. And I was, as the president of JUWASA, I was the right person to communicate with. He didn't make any appointment. I didn't even know he's coming. He waited for me by my office. I don't know for how long. But when I got there, he was interested in knowing, why do you walk with a laptop to court? And he wanted me to demonstrate what I can do with a laptop. And I showed him the case law, how I research, when the lawyers are quoting from whatever authority. I have that case immediately open in front of me. I could access everything there. And when he saw what I could do, he then remarked that if you were to be put in a motion court, that is where you do the civil matter, civil application, in a high court, with this information that you have in your laptop, you can survive, can't you? And I knew the right answer was, no, I can't survive. But I had to lie and say, yes, could. I definitely can survive. But believe you me, I did survive.
How was that period in Gauteng? And obviously having, so also we didn't exhaust the part of, you know, where were you the regional magistrate of?
I was a regional magistrate in Johannesburg.
So you were somewhat familiar with the environment of Gauteng. So it was not really a shifting experience then for you to act in the high court, I suppose, there at the time.
Look, being in Johannesburg and having to move to act in the High Court in Joburg and Pretoria, well, there isn't much similarities, except that geographically you are in Johannesburg
area,
or in Gauteng.
Because
when it comes to the work, at that stage, I often thought, because I was a judicial officer, the work would be fairly the same, only to find that I was very wrong. There was a lot of work. There was a lot of shift that I had to go through, because in the High Court, I think, and I still think, judges do not really have life or private life.
Sure, yeah.
Their life is to be working. You have to be writing judgments throughout.
Yes.
But well, as to the extent that I was a judicial officer and I continued being a judicial officer, well, that's the only legal similarity that I can say I carried from my being a regional magistrate towards being a judge of the High Court.
Yeah. Interestingly, that when Judge Dunstan Mlambo found you or you interacted with him, was as a result that you were heading to ASA at the time. And I've noted that you've went on to be the president, vice president, and subsequently at one point you were the secretary in Gauteng of ASA. Talk us through around the importance then of ASA at the time, but also even now, what's your analysis and your diagnosis of ASA? How impactful is ASA as an association, but also what's the relationship of ASA and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development now as we know it?
JUASA, that is the Judicial Officers Association of South Africa. It's a voluntary professional association to which judicial officers belong to. The vast majority thereof, that would be, I would say maybe more than 70-80%, comprises of district magistrate. The other percentage, then you can include regional magistrates, and a few judges are members. There isn't any distinction. Everyone is allowed to be a member thereof. The importance of JUASA is to carry the interests of magistrates wherever it's necessary.
Sure.
Be it a cry, be it, for example, we'll talk of salary negotiations. JUASA will take part in the negotiation of salaries. But of greater importance, according to me, especially during the tenure that I served, in both ranks, provincial leadership, vice president, and when I was president of JUASA, is to try and attain the single judiciary. Single judiciary meaning the lower court judiciary and the high court judiciary should be represented by one person, should account to the public being led by the Chief Justice. And even the interest, everything that is to pertain to judicial officers, be it magistrates, be it judges of the High Court, we should speak in one voice. And everything being run in respect of our work, our interests, should be coming from one office. Then that's when we talk of single judiciary. Because up until then, we did not have single judiciary. There are strides that have been made up until today, but unfortunately, we cannot talk of single judiciary as yet. And we also fought for independence of the judiciary, not limited to the lower court, but also to the high courts. Members of the judiciary, in particular magistrates, need not be seen as if they are being run and controlled by the department, whichever department, of course, then talking of the Department of Justice. So members of public who have issues with any government department, be it the Department of Justice, be it the minister, should feel free to sue, to institute an action against any minister and to have that matter adjudicated by a magistrate without fearing that that magistrate is an employee in a particular department. And that is when we talk of the judicial independence.
Wow. Okay.
And that applies even to the High Court judges, that they need to be fully independent.
Yeah.
The public will not see the judicial independence when the judges who adjudicate on their matters are still being controlled by the executive in terms of the purse or the finances. So that is what JUASA stood for. And I'm glad to say, to my knowledge, JUASA still stands for that up to today.
Yeah. I've interacted even with now the president of JUASA now. And you kind of get a sense of just mainly what you're saying. I mean, recently there was obviously a somewhat, they were intending to
to actually go to the streets as a result, obviously, of the pays and whatnot. So you can still see that there is somewhat of advocacy around the independence of just the association. Let's touch on you being a well-published author and also having somewhat presented a number of your papers at the National Conference and in different countries in Africa. What's then the subject of this case? I mean, and also, like, what becomes the subject of these papers that are published? That's one. But number two, I'd like to know your honest view of the judiciary across the African continent. Where are we? Comparing South Africa and them, but also what seems to be our shortcomings and theirs in terms of, you know, having a vibrant, as some say, you know, judicial systems across the continent of Africa.
Right. If I was to start at the last point that you touch on, the relationship that South African judiciary has with the African counterpart. You know, I wouldn't sit here and start being critical to the African judiciary. Rather, I will tell you that we have a very cordial relationship. There are many associations that bring the judiciary across the African continent, in fact, globally, under one roof. From time to time, being in Africa, you will know that the governments differ. There will be a government in Eswatini, which is our next door neighbor Lesotho, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and the like.
Mm.
The way judges get appointed differ. It differ from one country, judiciary,
yeah.
I mean one country to another, how they appoint members of the judiciary. This, however, does not necessarily mean that if people are appointed in a particular way, they are independent, it's compromised. So we do sit under one roof and discuss issues that are of common interest to all of us as the judiciary in various countries. And we have a lot in common. And we also learn a lot. I mean, I've attended many conferences with all the judges from all over Africa, the judges in DRC, and they are doing fairly well. To my knowledge, the judiciary in all these countries, you look at their judgment, they show independence. And that is one distinct feature of judiciary, to be independent in your judgment and to show that there has not been any influence by anyone, including those who appoint you to be judges. So I think we have a very good relationship with the judiciary or judges from other countries. We have so much to learn from them. They also have a lot to come and learn from the judiciary in South Africa, and everything is going well. And the papers that I've published, they are those that I delivered on our international platform. I'm talking of, I remember a paper I had to deliver in Mozambique, and it had to deal with the independence of the judiciary. There's a paper I remember I had to deliver in Washington, D.C. It had to do with the relationship between the judiciary and the media. And other papers that I've published, they pertain to the law here in South Africa. I will write on various topics. I indicated a little earlier, you'll remember. I was the editor-in-chief of the judicial newsletter published by Sajay. I think I held that position for about 3 years. That is prior to my appointment as a judge of the High Court. As the editor-in-chief, you would have to edit all the publication or everything that is sent to be published by judicial officers or magistrates countrywide. And I will also have to have my own writing as the editor-in-chief. So I publish a lot, and it will be on current issues that are being decided by various courts, the Supreme Court of Appeal, the Constitutional Court. If there is a case of great interest, I will analyze and write about it and have that published.
Without a doubt. If you just join in, you're on Rise FM in 60 minutes. It has just gone 24 minutes after 7. And I'm chatting tonight with the newly appointed
Deputy Judge President of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court. That's Judge Takalani Vincent Ratchivumu. He's my guest this evening. We're looking at where it all started, but most likely we are going to touch on the challenges within the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court, and what also, you know, looking at some of the proposals he made on his interviews of how he will assist JP Mpahlele. We'll definitely look into some of those submissions he made, but also we'll just at length, you know, reflect on, you know, some of his key highlights in the judiciary journey. Yon Risen, good evening to you if you just joined in. Feel free to also pose some questions on 072-885-7702.
Rise FM in 60 Minutes with the Mpumalanga Department of Human Settlements. They also offer housing subsidies to South Africans over the age of 18 with a family income of less than 3,500 rand. Here at Rise FM, while we like making winners all the time, we have competition terms and conditions. From the day you've won anything on Rise FM, you cannot win another on-air competition within 90 days. Playing fair and giving everybody a chance. Rise FM, Mpumalanga. Azishe. Where the facts and opinions build the discourse. Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
You are on Rise FM in 60 Minutes, and tonight my guest is Judge Ratchivumu, the Deputy Judge President of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court. He joins us this evening following, obviously, many other successes in his career. And among those is the position he holds now in the leadership of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court. And, you know, reflecting at some of his successes, and I've noted that, you know, he did say that he went to the University of Johannesburg, and he just said it as a passing thing. And I realized that he not only succeeded there, I mean, he graduated with a cum laude, but also he had a medal for the best student in that organization or at the University of Johannesburg. Judge, you know, that part of your life, you know, how important that was, not only just passing, but, you know, finishing, obviously, your qualification with a cum laude, but more so the best student at the university, I suppose, in the Faculty of Law at that time.
Well, for me, it was a milestone achievement. I remember it as if it's yesterday.
Yeah.
Especially because I wasn't a full-time student. I was a magistrate at the time.
Sure.
Meaning I was studying on part-time basis. So I remember that moment when my name was shouted and I was given that standing ovation. And it was said I was the best graduate for that year. To me, it meant quite a lot. Of course, my LLM was a coursework and a mini dissertation, all of which, that is the dissertation and all the courses I passed cum laude. So when this was announced, I was really over the moon, and wow. I still look back with great admiration. Then I was bestowed with the gold medal, the Chancellor's gold medal for being the best graduate.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very thrilled. I was only the third student to receive the award. The others had received that some years ago. I think they said it was only two students who received that prior to me getting one at the time.
Wow. So. You know, there's something you said just before we went on that breather. Among the many other papers you've published, you've also looked into the relationship of the judiciary and the media. How best do you reflect on that relationship now?
Well, unfortunately, or rather, the paper that I wrote, I don't have it with me here right away, but it was focusing on the hostile relationship that has always existed between the judiciary and the media. And at times, members of the media being convicted of contempt of court, for publishing what maybe the judicial officer may not be pleased, or things that are often said to be sub judice, because they're still being dealt with by the courts. And I looked into that historically, and the important thing was, how can we make a cordial relationship sure. between the media and the judiciary? We can coexist and complement each other. Mm. And that was the whole idea. How can the media complement the judiciary, and the judiciary, on the other hand, do the same, doing the same in respect of the media? Mm. And there were proposals that we made, and that was not just focusing on South African relationship between the two institutions,
yeah.
but globally so. And I did put forward a number of suggestions, and I'm glad that a number of member associations from various countries mm. took a lot of those suggestions forward. And for us in South Africa, we worked on our relationship with the media, and we took a position that the media can take our plight forward rather than us to be always confrontational sure, with each other. Sure. If there is something that has to be communicated to the public, it can also be communicated better through members of the media mm-hmm. without us being confrontational with each other, but
yes.
complementing each other.
Yeah.
And I think that is what is working. No wonder you just indicated to me recently you did interview Mr. Nealon, the
yes.
president of JUASA.
Yes,
and
yes.
now here I am. I think that is what we yeah. were striving for at the
sure,
time.
Sure. Now we are in July of 2021. Do you remember? July 2021?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now you are appointed as the permanent judge
yes.
to the division of the Mpumalanga High Court. That experience, but not only that experience. Now you've been working with Mpumalanga born, by the way, Judge Dunstan Mlang. We come from Barberton.
Yes.
And then now you are coming to his homeland, Mpumalanga. And you are appointed there. You are working now with Judge JP Lekgodi at that time. That experience now, from one, you know, jurist to another, just your own experience of finally coming down to the province of Mpumalanga. And at the time you're working with Judge Lekgodi, who also happened to interview you also at the JSC.
Yeah. 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 No, the changes in province coming from Gauteng to Mpumalanga, of course, it wasn't easy. But I've always been a person who is destined to serve mm. wherever I am called to serve. I mean, by the way, even in Mpumalanga, it's not the province that I grew in.
Yes.
I started as a public prosecutor
sure.
many years in Limpopo.
Yes.
But when the call came that go and serve mm. in Gauteng, I relocated, and
yes.
Gauteng became my
door.
Province.
Yes.
When I went there, little did I know that that Gauteng
yeah.
was going to be my home province for the next 25 years.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I served there for those
25
plus years. We
sure.
did my home. And now the call came that you are to serve the people of Mpumalanga. I relocated to make Mpumalanga my home province.
Mm.
I didn't just come here. I mean, I'm not just renting a place. When I
yeah.
came here, I purchased a home
wow.
and I came with my whole family saying,
nice.
This
yes.
is going to be my new home province. And
yes.
I'm going to serve the people of Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
So as a result, it may have been a challenge a little bit, because when I moved from Limpopo to Gauteng, it was just me
yeah.
alone. But
yeah.
this time, I have a little bit of baggage
yeah.
that I have to convince that we have a new home
yeah. Yeah.
right here by the place of the rising sun.
Yes.
So we relocated, and it may have been a challenge just the first few months, but this is the province that I love better than any other province.
Wow.
That's my home province.
Wow.
So, yes, it is my home province. Working in the courtroom, well, the cases you deal with in Gauteng
yeah.
are not so different. I mean, well,
yeah.
there may be differences in terms of the volume
sure.
of the work
sure.
because Pretoria and Johannesburg, well, geographically, they may appear to be very small, but that's the biggest province, talking of Gauteng, is the biggest division in terms of the volume of or the work. But if you are dealing with the case, for example, in the criminal court, if you are dealing with the case of murder, it will be no different than the case of murder committed
elsewhere,
anywhere else in the country.
Sure.
Gender-based violence, it will also be the same. So the cases are not so very different, although the volume may slightly vary.
Yeah.
And most people think that the work in Mpumalanga will be far much less, or maybe because, like I said, the division is smaller than
those of Gauteng.
But contrary to popular belief, for your information, I can inform you, there is a lot of work to be done in this province, especially because we got fewer judges compared to the judges in Gauteng.
Yeah. And obviously I'll get to that shortage of staff within the courts. But before we get there, Judge Rachivumu, I want us to then look into the chance to advance causes that you were also leading. Among the many other things you liked talking about was the maintenance, domestic violence, customary marriages. And I'm glad that you say you've touched on, you know, just a scope of some of the cases that you do receive at the High Court. But what is, why are cases of maintenance, domestic violence, and customary marriage close to your heart?
No, thank you so much for that. These topics are very close to my heart. You'll remember when we started, you were asking me about something like why I desired to study law. And I told you of the injustices that I grew up watching, which I also felt if I have an opportunity to remedy these injustices, I would want to make my contribution. And studying law seemed to be the best way to do so. It stems from that very position. It always hurts me to see the poor of the poorest in our community not finding justice that they deserve to get from our courts. I mean, I'll give you examples. If every parent was to be responsible to maintain the children that they bring to this planet, I tell you, we wouldn't be having so much crisis when it comes to bursary allocation at tertiary institution or the universities. Unfortunately, because so many of the parents do not want to be responsible when it comes to maintenance of their children, some even drop from school because they cannot or they cannot meet the criteria to qualify for NFSAs, yet their parents are not willing to take responsibility for them. So these children or their parents need to be taught or to be informed that there is a law called the Maintenance Act, which entitles you, even if you are a child, especially if you are above the age of 18, you can take your parents to court, be it your mother or your father, whoever it's able to maintain, but it's failing to maintain you as a child, or your parent, if you are under that age, can go to court, seek your maintenance, seek the maintenance or that the parent should pay for your tuition now that you are going to varsity. And maintenance is not just about buying of the milk or the Pampers. We are talking about payment of your tuition. And it goes further than that. So many women who are co-owners of their homes because Lobola has been paid for them.
Yes, sir.
They are told at any given moment by their partners, leave my house. And they just take their bags, leave the house. They forget that, look, this man who paid Lobola, it's now a husband. And as a result, the house is chasing you from. You are its co-owner. You cannot just be chased. If he wants, he should rather divorce you. And then we talk about the division of the assets. But so many people become victims because they don't know that information. So whenever I have an opportunity with Chance to Advance, which is hosted by UNISA, and they will invite me to try and give these lectures to the public, I would choose the topics that can help those very people, the poor of the poorest, so they know about maintenance, they know about the customary marriages and the rights they have in terms of those customary marriages. And those topics that you talked about, at least it is to help and empower our people, especially the vulnerable members of our society.
And you've now already segued into the shortage of staff in the courts. And I remember you cited an example in one of your interviews talking of, you know, one, I suppose, a clerk in the Mbombela High Court having to also act in Middelburg, and that subsequently leaves a vacuum here in Nelspruit. But also, it's not enough to even cover both divisions, the one in Middelburg and the one here in Mbombela. Talk us through around just the impact that it has on the work that is being done by the High Court, the shortage of staff.
The shortage of staff, in particular, let me talk of shortage of judges, has serious and negative impact. And it impacts first negatively on the judges themselves. They have to do more work than they are supposed to. And as a result, you will find right now as we are talking, it's supposed to be recess. But judges have to be working during recess, preparing on those judgments. And you find even when the recess is over, judges haven't completed writing their judgments because there's just too much work. We're talking of here in Mpumalanga Division, both Middelburg and Mbombela, you're talking of a total of 9 permanent judges. And when you have 3 judges doing civil work in Mbombela, 3 judges doing civil work in Middelburg, then you remain with only 3 that will be doing the criminal work. And by the way, when you talk of criminal work here in Mbombela, you got Graskop, you got the Mbombela city itself. You also have Barberton. Barberton Circuit Court had to be closed.
Is it because of the judges?
Because we have not enough judges. That's the reason.
Wow.
So now the cases that are supposed to be dealt with in Barberton, when we talk of Circuit Court, it means a judge will leave Mbombela to go and sit maybe at the Barberton Magistrate Court. Then we take service to our people. As a result of that, you end up having people in Barberton having to come from Barberton to Mbombela. And you're talking of about 42 kilometers that they will have to travel. Barberton is not the only court that we had to close. There's a court that was closed in Kwamhlanga. A circuit court for that very reason. Recently, we have a judge who has to juggle between Brayton and Delmas. There was supposed to be a judge doing circuit court in Delmas and a circuit court
in Brayton.
But a judge will sit 1 week in Brayton, the following week Delmas, another week Brayton, juggling through.
I'm just picturing the distance between Brayton and Delmas.
Well, that's something else. Talking of the distance, come to think of our judge president had voiced the interest of establishing another circuit court in areas such as Piet Retief. I mean, Piet Retief is more than 200 kilometers from Middelburg. Although she has that desire, she doesn't have judges that she can deploy to serve there because of the shortages. So whenever there are such kind of cases, people from Piet Retief have to travel to find justice, to have service delivery given to them by the judges in Middelburg. So can you imagine if we are to start a trial at 10 o'clock and the prosecutor tells you witnesses are not here yet? Under normal circumstances, you have to authorize a warrant of arrest for the witnesses who are not there. You look at the time, it's 10 o'clock, but these witnesses have to travel 200 kilometers using public transport. You can't authorize a warrant of arrest.
It's impossible,
there was supposed to be a circuit court there, but it cannot be because there are not enough judges. And this can be easily demonstrated. If we were to look, the population in Mpumalanga increased very, very drastically. For example, if we were to look at the population as it was in 2019, it increased by so many millions that the legislature, the Mpumalanga legislature, yes, had to be increased.
The seats, yes.
Yes, there were 30 MPs in the province after the 2019 election.
Yeah.
But now
we've got 51.
Exactly.
Sure.
And that happened simply because of the population increase.
Yes.
That population is the one that the judiciary is serving. That should mean even in the judiciary we should have had something closer to double the numbers. But
I
in
see.
2019 we had 9 permanent judges.
In 2024?
We're still there.
Sure. Yeah.
9 permanent judges.
Wow.
Unfortunately. So that becomes a challenge. And well, it goes down to other members of staff, like we're talking the clerks of the court, the registrar and the like. But for now, I just wish to focus so much
on
the judicial or the judges shortages.
Yeah. By the end of September this year, you had about, or rather the Mbombela High Court set with about 5,095 cases, while as the Middelburg one set with about 5,052. Has that number grew drastically? Maybe that's the last time I tallied up the numbers. End of September. I don't know now, end of November towards December, where are we?
Yes, Mrs. Kosana, when you get some numbers from another author and you don't acknowledge the author, we call it plagiarism.
Oh, wow.
Because I think you got those statistics from my preparation at some point.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm guilty as charged. Yes.
No. You are right. I did my preparation and I gathered those numbers for in preparation for the interview.
Yes.
And you will remember that interview was only in October.
Yes.
This year. I have not gathered other statistics. Obviously, as the year goes, it's part of my role in assisting the judge president to gather the updated numbers to see if we are going up or down. But yes, if you compare the statistics in September of this year to September of 2023, you will realize that the cases we're dealing with have increased drastically. But the judges who are dealing with those kind of cases in the civil court, you still have 3 judges from Mbombela and 3 judges for Middelburg. And the whole idea was to try and demonstrate that there's a need to try and increase the numbers of judges if we are serious about service delivery to our people.
Sure. And that's, I think that's where the gist of the issue is.
Yes.
But also, it speaks largely to, I remember when the JP was on her own interview, she also expressed intentions of, you know, that circuit court in Kwamhlanga, because they also have to travel all the way to Middelburg to find justice. And she mentioned, or she painted a picture or a scenario where an individual can wake up or take a taxi around about 7 o'clock and the court probably starts at about 10. Even by then, that person will still not be in court because they are reliant on public transport. And that speaks to what you were saying about Brayton and also Delmas and various other places in the province where some of the suspects and persons who are even applicants, they themselves need to travel these distances. Now, Judge, let's talk about some recent judgments you've made, but not really them, but we're just looking into lessons, and particularly in those. I'm interested on a judgment that you made earlier this year where you somewhat criticized, not really criticized, but you flagged that the magistrate had not appraised themselves with the latest in terms of the
section of the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act. And that particularly, you know, it was declared unconstitutional almost 3 decades back. And that particular, so I'm more interested on that because I want to link that to what you used to do, training magistrates. Do you think there is a gap still for the training of magistrates? Because now you have a judge, or rather you've got a magistrate who rules against a person. And you come and say, but this particular law was actually declared unconstitutional almost 30 years ago. Is there a gap in terms of the training of magistrates? And how do we then mitigate that particular gap?
Right. I think I know the judgment you're talking about, and I express my A to Z views about that particular case in that judgment. But I like the way you are asking this question because one can talk to that in general terms.
Sure, sure.
And indeed, look, training is an ongoing process. Training, it's not an event. And not just for the magistrates, for us as judges too. If there is any judge who thinks he knows it all, he doesn't need any more training, any more upliftment, any more studying to know better, that would be a very dangerous judge. And the right judge that I would want as a litigant to appear before is a judge who keeps on empowering himself, be it through peer training, be it through reading the case law and recent development. That is a judge that I think as a member of public, I would want to appear before. There is a need for training also for magistrates. And that need, like I said, is a continuous need. Law keeps on developing, unlike other careers wherein you go to varsity, they train you in a particular degree, then you are done and finished. You can simply just go and work. Maybe you are a doctor, you prescribe the medication. In law, the law keeps on changing. The legislature is passing new laws. The judgments are being passed by the higher courts, called of a higher jurisdiction. I'm talking of the Constitutional Court, Supreme Court of Appeal, and even High Courts. Whatever judgment that is delivered today that teaches the lower courts certain principles, all the magistrates need to be familiar with that. We as judges need to be familiar with those judgments as they are handed down by the higher courts, like a Constitutional Court. And how do you do that? You need to keep on reading. You need to know what judgments were handed down today, what judgments were handed down yesterday. So training is an ongoing process. We need to keep on training each other, informing each other of those kind of judgments. And we do that. So magistrates need to be familiar with that, that if you think you know it all, you don't need any more training, you are a very dangerous judicial officer.
Sure.
Training is necessary.
Training is necessary. We're left with, in fact, we're left with about a couple of minutes before we wrap up with Judge Rachivum. He joins us in conversation, congratulating him, but also touching base. What sort of, you know, person he is, and you know, where does all this experience come from? And in fact, we've already established with him live in our studios. We'll take this, you know, momentary breather coming up, but then we wrap up. We look into whether if he can comment on how impactful, you know, the deeming of the High Court being by the Department of Labor hazardous, the effects it has had on their work, but also the, you know, the backlog that then assumes as a result. But also we'll touch largely on just few things before we bid him farewell. Leon Rice.
Rise FM in 60 Minutes with the Mpumalanga Department of Human Settlements. They also offer housing subsidies to South Africans over the age of 18 with a family income of less than 3,500 rand. Where the facts and opinions build the discourse. Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
Indeed, Judge Rachivumo is my guest this evening. It's a Tuesday. It's a judicial Tuesday. We look into issues of the courts and issues of constitutionality. And tonight we have a jurist in its purest form, and he joins us live in conversation. Judge, before we wrap up, you know, there's been very interesting things I've noted about
your judgments when you largely discuss issues of gender-based violence. I'll say a quote, or I'll quote what you said in court, and I'd like to know if you do remember, but also what becomes just your honest view, because earlier we touched on issues of maintenance, we touched on issues of customary marriage, but not much around gender-based violence. I quote you now, open quote, you said, "I'm ashamed to sit here as a man and be associated with you," close quote. Do you remember that particular judgment?
I remember it quite well. I do.
Yeah, it was the sentencing of the accused Nkuna, who was 36 at the time, who also had killed about two of the Mazibuko sisters. And you said, "You are ashamed to sit here as a man and be associated with him." Your honest view around how we can deal, maybe from your view, how can we deal with this scourge, gender-based violence and femicide against women and children?
Thank you so much, Mrs. Kosana. The challenge involving gender-based violence cannot be solved from the judiciary alone, or you don't need just one solution. If you think by imposing very harsh sentences and we will just be giving life imprisonment to all who violate women, who kill the women, and you think we are going to deal with it to the end, you will be very mistaken.
Sure.
We need approaches from different or diverse corners of the community. Yes, the courts need to see gender-based violence as a serious challenge. And if the courts do that, even the sentences that we impose as the courts will teach a necessary lesson, give some guidance to the other people there that, look, if you commit this kind of crime, you may receive this kind of sentence. Yeah. That is when we talk of deterrence.
Yeah.
But deterrence by the courts through imposing sentences alone, it's not sufficient. We need these young men to be trained as they grow up. These boys, as they grow up, they need to understand that you don't need to use physical force for a woman to understand you. These hands are not meant to punish, but to build, to love, to hug. That is, if we are able to train our boys as they are growing up to understand that no matter how angry you are with a woman, the best you can do, walk away. Everybody has a right to life, as much as you also have a right to life. If we, as the community, can put hands together, I'm talking of the pastors, the leaders of the community, the traditional leadership. Mpumalanga here, it's a province wherein the majority of population here are under traditional leadership. If from that traditional leadership, our honorable nkosis, the chiefs, can teach their subjects to respect the women. If we can do that without any threat about you will go to jail, I tell you, we can achieve quite a lot. Wow. And there will be very few culprits who will be arrested for violating the women. And those very few will have to be dealt with by the courts. So the community also needs to play its role out there. It is on you and I as the fathers to teach our children at home to know. And some of these lessons need not be spoken, but they need to watch us. How do we relate as parents when our children are watching us?
I hear you. There's a lot to ask you, but the time is not sufficient. But I just want to thank you, Judge, for having come to just touch on some of key highlights in your career. But more so, we just wanted to formally congratulate you in front of the whole province to say, yes, you've been acting on that particular position. But I think it's different when you are now fully, fleshly appointed into it to serve the province, like you said earlier. You came into the province with the intention of serving, and we really appreciate that. Before I let you go, which was the toughest interview, the one in 2021 or the one in 2024?
Well, I think the one of 2021 was fairly easy for me. When I look back, it was fairly easy. But this one, the most recent one, there were too many, let me say it was slightly challenging. But I think at the end of the day, like you watched, I did prevail, didn't I?
You did. There were certain other questions. So I felt like, this one, I felt that maybe you should have added more, because I was watching and I was like, maybe you should say more on this. But anyways, I'm none the wiser because you are here now appointed as a deputy judge president.
There you go.
So, deputy judge president, really want to thank you so much, Judge Takalani Vincent Ratchivumu. It has been an honor for us to host you on our show as we round up the year. And you came such an important time on such an important day for our show. On a Tuesday, where we're looking on issues that happens within the court, be it judgments and many other issues, and we want to thank you so much. And together with, obviously, the your office and every person that you work with for having made it possible, we really want to thank you. We wish you well, and as you said, you are on recess now. May you, write the judgments while you rest, because the important thing is resting so that you come back re-energized in just post the recess. But thank you so much for having come this evening.
No, thank you so much for hosting me. And I also wish to say to your listeners out there, I am very grateful, and we thank you for your support. There are challenges in the judiciary, like I highlighted some of them.
Yes.
Please just be patient with us. They always say Rome wasn't built in one day.
Yes.
The judges in this province, under the leadership of the Judge President Mpatlele, are doing all they can. We are working around the clock to see to it that we are able to deliver service to our community. Mm. To us, our responsibility, we see it as a calling, and we are doing our best. And thank you so much for hosting me. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much, DJP. Really appreciate you having come. There you have it, Mpumalanga. It's the newly appointed Deputy Judge President of the Mpumalanga Division of the High Court. That's Judge Ratchivumu. He was our guest this evening on a Tuesday. Really appreciated the staff at the Office of the Chief Justice also for having made it as trend. We really appreciate that particular gesture. It's just gone past the 8 o'clock hour. Siyabawa uzima nhlokomele nohana ntshutubazane ibe nobusuku obujame kuhle. Good night.